I like to quote one of my heroes at this time of year. He wrote this a few hundred years ago. It's time for us to be looking out of this world, which grows old and is ready to vanish away. God is by the brightness of his own discoveries burning up the works thereof and establishing that new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. The creation have sent up strong groans and have long lien under bondage. The redemption thereof now draws nigh. We are the children of the last times, and upon us are the ends of the world come, prophecies and promises which have been hid from ages and generations are now enriching us by their revealing and fulfilling in us. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be set up above the mountains and exalted above the hills. Now it begins to be brought to pass the saying that is written, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The man who wrote that thought Jesus would come back in his lifetime, and he didn't. But every believer and every generation is told to watch and to expect. And it might well be that in 100 years' time, when we are all gone, some young whippersnapper is in this pulpit saying, well, it might be our generation, it might be this year. And they're right to do so. And we are right to do so as well. And I want to preach fairly briefly this evening on Babylon. Perhaps an unusual topic. Surely I should be preaching on, you know, not looking back and looking forward and all that kind of stuff. Well, that will come on Sunday, rest assured. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 18, a strange passage from a strange book. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed, mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Well, what is Babylon? Babylon, of course, was a real city. It is in that what we now term Iraq. When John was writing the book of Revelation, Babylon was still an inhabited city, part of the Parthian Empire. It was the empire of which Nebuchadnezzar was the king, as recorded in the book of Daniel. And yet John, in the book of Revelation, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks of Babylon and the fall of Babylon as this future event. Some have suggested it's a metaphor for ancient Rome. Rome was the persecuting empire of John's day. And he uses a code name for the Roman Empire. He calls it Babylon. Well, that might work. The reformers, like Luther and Calvin, said Babylon was in fact the Roman Catholic Church. In the previous chapter, she is a woman, a well-dressed prostitute, riding a beast, a monster. And it's not absolutely clear what that means. My own interpretation, for what it's worth, is that Babylon here represents all false religion. And the monster she rides in the previous chapter refers to the power of human governments which support that false religion. There are believers in jail tonight because they won't fornicate with Babylon. And the beast locks them up. Hundreds of years ago, people in our own country were tied to wooden stakes because they would not fornicate with Babylon. And she handed them over to the secular authorities that they might be killed. I think the ultimate culmination of Babylon before Jesus comes back, there will be a revival in false religion, and an evil power will support it. Babylon's origins, of course, are found in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Powerful Nimrod, a great king, and others determined to make a tower to ascend to heaven, not waiting for God's deliverer, not waiting to be invited, not waiting for God's grace. They sought to build their own way into heaven, as it were, and take it by force. And God dispersed the human race, and with it spread their false ideas over the whole earth. And there is a sense, I believe, in which the Babel of Genesis chapter 11 is going to be repeated in the future. A unity created around a false religious structure. In verse 2 of chapter 18, we're told that Babylon harbors demonic entities. This is not just human thinking, human logic. There is a power behind this Babylon. In that same chapter, we're told that the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. There is a link between Babylon and wealth. We live under capitalism, the system by which money makes more money, and its days are numbered. Because the days are coming when the value of human beings will not be measured by how much they own and how much money they make and the quality of the clothes they wear and the size of the houses in which they live. That system is part of this Babylonian rebellion, which has covered the earth for so long. In verse 17 of that chapter, we're told, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and many others who trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" When Babylon falls in Revelation chapter 18, the merchants of the world begin to wail. And in verse 20, it reads, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." The Bible talks about the world hating believers. And how many of those apostles were put to death? How many prophets have been put to death? How many believers continue to be persecuted down to this day? And according to this chapter of Revelation, although the various governments and the various empires and the various dictators who enact this persecution, they're all part of this mystery Babylon. The great delusion, the rebellion which has covered the world. Verse 23 we read, "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." Babylon deceives the nations. And she might deceive them in different ways, in India, in Arabia, in America, in England. There are so many different spiritualities out there, religions out there, philosophies out there, but none of them point people to Christ. And that is Babylon. And yet let's go back to verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people." What on earth does that mean? In other words, some of God's elect people are associating with Babylon. They have connections with this false religious system which has dominated the earth since the time of Nimrod. And the message of the Holy Spirit to God's people in that verse is, come out of her. I don't know when Jesus will come back. I don't know when all the false religious systems of the world will finally come to an end. It might be 2019. Or it might not. But this much I know. Babylon's days are numbered. This much I know. Christ is coming back for his people. And a part of me hopes it is 2019. Another part of me says, not yet, Lord. But the more spiritual part of me says, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. And this world appears to be getting more and more wicked. Even basic biological principles established by the Creator, we rebel against them. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, we've had some wonderful singing and some interesting testimony. Why on earth is it preaching on Babylon? Because chapter 18 of Revelation is meant to encourage you. It's meant to boost your faith. The days of evil are numbered. The devil will not be loose forever. I started quoting from Charles Worsley at the beginning. Let me quote a little more from him before we sing. "The reign of Antichrist hath been long, and so taking, being beautified by the excellency and glory of the flesh, that the whole world wondered after the beast, whatever was prone and apt to deceive and bewitch the world, that hath he clothed himself withal, not only learning, wisdom, greatness, and power, humane, but whatsoever the gospel afforded outward, that hath been given to him to carry captive into his own place, to that great city of Babylon." Charles Worsley goes on to say, Babylon is about to fall. And it didn't in his lifetime. But it might in ours. And I don't know what 2019 holds. I remember standing here 12 months ago And within a week, I got bad news from a relative. Within 3 months, he'd left this earthly life. And sometimes we look at Babylon and the things in Revelation and we're excited about that, and I hope we are. But let's also remember 2019 will contain personal battles for everybody in this room. And you don't know what they are. But God does. And just as he knows how and when Babylon will fall, and how and when Jesus Christ will return, so he also knows he's going to get you through and rescue and deliver. Because let me assure you, the God who can deal with Babylon can deal with those obstacles in my path. 2019 might be a great year, or it might just be yet another year that merges into all the others that have gone before. And I don't mind which it is, because I leave that to God. Amen.